And here is the Writer's Almanac for Saturday. It's the 20th of June, 2009. It's the birthday of the poet and novelist Vikram Seth, born in Calcutta, India, in 1952. Grew up in India, moved out to Northern California to study economics in grad school, started working on a master's thesis he entitled Seven Chinese Villages, an Economic and Demographic Portrait. But one day, he got fed up with entering numbers into a computer database, walked into a bookstore, up to the poetry section, pulled some books down. One of them was Pushkin's Eugene Onegin, written in iambic tetrameter. And Vikram Seth was so impressed that he quit working on his master's thesis and wrote his own novel in verse using iambic tetrameter. The book was The Golden Gate, published in 1986. Even the author's bio page was written in tetrameter. A student of demography and economics, he has written From Heaven Lake, a travel book based on a journey he once took through Xinjiang and Tibet, unbitten at last by wanderlust and rhyme he keeps Pacific Standard Time. The book, The Golden Gate, begins, "To make a start more swift than weighty, hail muse, dear reader, once upon a time, say circa 1980, there lived a man, his name was John, successful in his field, though only 26, respected, lonely. One evening, as he walked across Golden Gate Park, the ill-judged toss of a red frisbee almost brained him. He thought, if I die, who'd be sad? Who'd weep? Who'd gloat? Who would be glad? Would anybody? As it pained him, he turned from this dispiriting theme to ruminations less extreme." Vikram Seth, whose native language is Hindi, he writes in English. He's also fluent in Mandarin and Urdu, studied Welsh, German, and French, plays the cello, the Indian flute, sings German Lieder. The novel that made his reputation was A Suitable Boy in 1993, and his most recent book, a work of nonfiction, Two Lives, a love story about his Indian great-uncle and German-Jewish great-aunt. Here's a poem for today by Robert Morgan entitled Wild Pea Vines. I have never understood how the mountains, when first seen by hunters and traders and settlers, were covered with pea vines. How could every cove and clearing, old field, every opening in the woods, and even understories of deep woods be laced with vines and blossoms in June? They say the flowers were so thick, the fumes were smothering. They tell of shining fogs of bees above the sprawling mess, and every bush and sapling tangled with tender curls and tresses. I don't see how it was possible for wild peas to take the woods in shade and deep hollows and spread over cliffs in hanging gardens and choke out other flowers. It's hard to believe the creek banks and high ledges were that bright. But hardest of all is to see how such profusion, such overwhelming lushness and lavish could vanish, so completely disappear, that you must look through several valleys to find a sprig or strand of wild pea vine curling on a weed stalk like some word from a lost language once flourishing on every tongue. Wild Pea Vines by Robert Morgan from his collection entitled Wild Pea Vines, published by Noman Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can read thousands of classic and contemporary poems online at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.